makes you worry.
Paul, sing it unto him then. Think about him.
Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living.
Will you?
Sanctuary before you.
Amen and amen and amen. Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to Revelation 3. I know you remember, but remember Brother Dean, he's in the hospital and kind of dizzy and everything. Blood pressure's been running up on him, and they was put him in yesterday to run some tests on him and everything, but I believe he'll be all right. Everything will be okay. I remember that. Remember the watch night service now, Monday night, 8 o'clock, and Brother David Gadman will be speaking for us, so remember that. And if you can and want to, bring along some snacks and sweets and different things, you know, cakes or something, and we'll try to, you know, have a little something to eat and fellowship together after the service is over with, and that way you don't have to go out and try to find a place to get something to eat. So just remember that. And two, now there will not be a Wednesday night service because we'll be here, you know, Tuesday, and so we just won't have a Wednesday night service this week. But we will be having Bible study this coming Saturday. It will be the first, you know, be the Bible study for the Saturday, 6 o'clock. So remember those announcements, and I'll just keep everything in mind. I think I've covered all of them. If I missed any announcements, I generally do, you know. But Revelation 3, glad to have Dale and Diane with us today. And you know, they'll be traveling back home, so remember them. And remember Rachel's mother and father. They've been here all week working like everything. Now they got to drive all the way back to New Mexico and everything. So just keep in your mind, you phone these, you know, that are traveling and things and all. Father, we thank you for your love and your grace. We thank you for your understanding. Thank you for you. And Father, we ask you that you would just come now and speak to our hearts as we try to meditate upon thy word. That, Lord, as we read your word, that you would speak to us from the word, because that's the only hopes we have. We pray that you'd bless these, be with Brother Dean there in the hospital, deliver him, Father. And, Lord, remember the ones that are traveling on the highways, and I'll just keep each one in your thinking today, Lord, as their many miles will be driven. So just have your way. And, Lord, guide each one. Forgive our sins, because we want to stand complete in you. And you know the thoughts in our minds, so you just help us to try to be able to present what we see. And just keep us and guide us. We love you, and we thank you for all things. In Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation 3, now we'll go to verse 21 and 22. We've been on 3:14 for about four or five services. Now we'll go down to Revelation 3, 21 and 22. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Now notice, not on in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, we have been, this is my 34th message, I guess, that we started on the book of Revelations, and we've just been slowly going through, and it's taken us this long to get over to, you know, in the church ages and things, and then started dealing with each church age and showing the salutation first, which is the greeting, or, you know, like you saluting something, a salutation, a greeting to each church age was a revelation of the deity of Jesus Christ. All right. So he gave each age a revelation of his deity, or, you know, of his being. And then to the overcomer of that age, each overcomer, the overcoming to the age would be related to what was the revelation to the age. I hope you've caught that, and that way you can read the salutation or the greeting, and then go down and read to the overcomer, and you'll see that it's related together. And what I mean by that, it ties together. It goes, this says this, and this says that. Right? So then in the seventh church age especially, when it talks about the beginning of the creation of God, you know, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. All right? And then now we get down to the overcomer of the age, and says, you'll sit with me in my throne as I've overcome, and sit with my Father in his throne. So then the revelation to this age, as I've tried to tell you, in the ages coming down, maybe they didn't finish what was spoken to that age, you know, because that was the way it was to be. It was waiting on you and I, coming down to the end time, you know, that they would fulfill Hebrews 11:40. They without us cannot be made perfect. But see, that those ages would just get maybe a partial realization. See, even though they're promised and all, but they'll have to wait one day to go into the fullness of even the message of their age to the overcomer, you know. But in this age, it's not so. Now, I keep saying that because I want you to, that's what I believe, that's what I want you to see. This age that we're living in has to come to perfect realization, see, not a partial realization of it, perfect realization, all right? And then as it does, it'll be complete, because that's what the word perfect means. And see, then you'll come in this age to the basis where right here while we're alive, someone is going to catch the revelation. Amen. And that to me is what's going to make the change. Amen. You know, I mean, that's going to bring about the change. That's why each age, there couldn't be a change down through the ages. There was a catching up into the message of the age, yeah. You know, they were caught up out of the and brought into the bright age of each age, and that's wonderful. But yet this age, see, they're waiting on you and I to catch the revelation of this age.
Right. Amen.
Somebody's got to get it.
Right.
Why can't we believe we're part of it? I mean, people can preach about one of these days this is going to happen, you know. Maybe it will. Somebody, maybe one of these days, will do it. But when are we going to start saying we are the ones that it's talking about?
Amen.
You know, I mean, when we're going to get to that? You say, well, I just don't see nothing. Well, open your eyes.
Amen.
A lot of things are happening, so open your eyes. And you say, well, I just don't see the sick healed, the dead raised, and all like that. Go around the world, find a lot being done. Brother Branham said more in one service than even in Jesus' ministry.
Right.
He said, now the Lord done it. Well, I've invited you to go back over the years that some of you have been here. I've invited you to go back and keep up with the things that has happened among us and compare that with Jesus' ministry.
Right.
To see the things that took place. Right? But I believe we're here. All right, we're not waiting for something to take place. This is it. If this ain't it, you and I are in trouble.
Right.
Now, that's just the best way to say it.
Right.
If this is not it, and when are we going to start saying this is it? When are we going to start confessing who we are?
Right.
See? If we confess who we are, that he has made us, see, then he can make intercession upon our confession, right? Because isn't that the way the prophet taught it? That he can't do anything until we say it.
Right.
Until we confess it.
Right.
He can't heal you, overriding your free moral agency. If you want to die, you just go ahead and die.
Right.
He can't heal you because, right. Why? You've got to make the confession.
Right.
You've got to speak it. You've got to say it. Because he makes intercession upon your confession. Well, see, then that's the same way as the revelation to each age. When Martin Luther, just try to illustrate it that way, see, when he come out with the message of the just shall live by faith, That was a confession contrary to everybody in the world. I'm sure there were little holdouts of people here and yonder that believe things, but you know what I'm saying. They still wasn't none of them the messenger to the age. There were a lot of people protested the Catholic Church before Martin Luther. Right, we know that. But they were not the messenger of the age. Okay? So when the messenger of the age, see, said the just shall live by faith, surely a lot of people had said that before then, but it didn't have the effect, right? Then, once he made that confession, see, then the church could make the same confession. See? She could say the same thing then. The just shall live by faith. All right? See, now the messenger in this age has delivered the final message, the final voice of the age has delivered his message. All right? So it's up to you and I to start. He's made his confession. See? Isaiah 53, you know, who hath believed our report? Well, see, it is our there, not just his report. So now it's time for you and I to make our confession of what we believe and stand on that and say, this is it. Or at least let me say like Brother Branham, if this is not it, let me keep this. All right? Until that gets here. Everybody's saying, oh yeah, over yonder, oh yeah, one day, oh yeah, one day. Well, now, we'll never get anywhere doing it that way. Because you're confessing something to come. I'm not confessing something to come, I'm confessing what's here. This age, the time of the age, at least we could say what the prophet said about it. He didn't speak of a future coming. He said, I'm not saying he's coming, I'm saying he's here. Now, when are we going to start saying that? Well, like Brother Forney says, wowsy, wowsy, woozy, you know. I'm just having so many troubles, I just don't see how it could be. You know, I wonder sometime how we would fit if we went back to the Apostle Paul and his wowsy, wowsy, woozy, you know, and wait a minute, what would it beat? What, five times? 30 stripes? 40 is supposed to kill you? 39? 40 was supposed to kill you? In jail, in prison, and shipwrecked, and all kind of, and then we sat down, oh, we're having problems. Then compare that with the Lord Jesus. Did the Lord Jesus run around with a you know, oh, it's not a tongue lock, oh, a problem is coming. No. Paul said, I glory in my infirmities. I glory in mine infirmities. Why? Because God can heal then if I confess it. But see, this age, understand what I'm saying. This age is not speaking of an age to come. We're not speaking of something to come. It's not. This is the age to speak the positive extent of where we are. Not what we will be. That's a flimsy excuse to keep confessing what you will be. Because you're admitting you don't have anything. Is that blunt enough? Amen. I don't play with words, at least, do I? Amen. You know, at least I say it like it is. The prophet said when you say it like it is, they can't accuse you of something else. You know. See, I'm just saying it. See, the problem is you and I. The prophet said, I don't see anything holding off the coming of the Lord except one thing. What did he say? Outside of the readiness of the bride. All right. So now, it's into our hands for us to stand on it and confess it to where he can bring it to pass. In this age, while we're alive, see, somebody is going to be changed in a moment, a twinkle of an eye. Right? Because that's Bible. Well, then somebody's going to have a positive statement that God can come and back up. I told you years ago, the Lord told me, said, you preach the word, I'll back it up. I thought, well, Lord, man, I'm doing everything I can now to preach it. And it took me a long time to be able to understand that statement. Because I was thinking he was telling me I was preaching wrong. You know, but no. He finally come to me and told me, said, no, you're right, but said, there's more to come. Just keep preaching it. I'll back it up. And I said, okay. So that's what we do. We just keep driving on down the road. All right. But like I said now, the message to the age, and the overcoming part that you catch, is related together. All right? So then he's the beginning of the creation of God. We went through that and brought it down through even back before the world ever begun.
Right.
Even back to the statements that Brother Branham made that in the beginning, before the eternal.
Right.
We were talking last night down at the hospital about that, see? The prophet said, in the beginning, before the eternal. You say, well, that he just made a slip of the tongue. No, sir, that's perfect, exactly right. Because there was a time the word eternal was not even existing in the human language. Right? Come on. The word eternal didn't even exist in the human language. I believe it's now, I may be wrong on this, but I believe it's right about faith. It's not even a word in the Old Testament. I believe that's right now. You know, I'll check it, but I think it's right. I don't think the word faith appears in the Old Testament. Because it was a word to come at a time. All right? You understand then? See, then back before the word was we could say eternity means like a circle. Before that comprehension ever come into being, God was back before there. So you see, the prophet's right. In the beginning, before the eternal. Before you could ever comprehend anything about eternity. To even be able to use the word eternity. That God existed there and was on back past there. Alright? See, then what we're trying to do is connect that thing up to bring that circle back to where it'll be in eternity. Alright? But now see, he's the beginning of the creation of God. So by using the word beginning of the creation of God, like I've tried to express it to you, when you say the beginning of something, that means there's more of it to come. We just make it as something starting. We don't think about that it means there's more to come of the same. The prophet, we'll read it after a while on proving his word. We've read it over and over. He said he's the beginning of the creation of God, and we're the continuation of that creation through Jesus Christ. And only in Jesus Christ, the prophet said, is God a creation. But we went back way back before the world and brought it down, you know, to the seeing the beginning of the creation of God was the Logos, the theophany that went out of God, the Son of God. Most of our minds were locked on Son of God as being 2,000 years ago. Now even your theologians knew that the theophany and things like that, they called it the Son of God. Even Nebuchadnezzar had enough sense to know it had to be the Son of God when he looked in and saw the fourth man in the fire. You know, he said he's one like unto the Son of God. See, because our minds lock upon things. And then when it does, it's hard to get that to unlock. The prophet said that's all a minister does. He just speaks enough words to where God can use it to unlock your mind. And I realize that a lot of times my speaking automatically locks your mind. All right? Because you don't agree with it, maybe, or you don't understand it, so you just... I wonder what we're going to have for supper. Okay. I'll get the car fixed. Okay. See, then you just cut off. And you don't know what in the world's being said. Then you blame me. And say, it's my fault. Well, all right. I accept the part of that it's my fault. I shouldn't have said that word. But it's the only one I knew how to say. So that's the best way to speak it. But now listen. See, if he's the beginning of the creation of God, we're the rest of that creation. That's why Paul said we are his offspring. See? They knew these things. All right? And see, then being the children of God, we're not sons of Jesus that was the Son of God. We're sons and daughters by the basis that Jesus came and lived and gave his life. All right. See, then that's what we took it all the way through the Old Testament, then came down to the beginning of the creation of God, where the prophet said, like future home and thing, said he began in the womb of Mary.
Right.
There's the beginning of the creation of God. Why? Because God is going to bring in a new creation.
Amen.
He's not going to deal with the old creation. He's going to have to change you and I.
Right.
See? Adam was the first of the natural creation, right? See, Jesus Christ was the first of the new creation.
Amen.
A new race. God living in human flesh upon the earth. All right? And through Him and by Him is the only way you and I can be anything. All right? So then He was the beginning of the creation of God, or God coming into creation. God condescending that couldn't be comprehended, as I said, not even words to express Him. Then He condescends downward. He brings us to a position to where that we can begin to see by revelation. God living in human flesh. See, then what He had to do, He had to give His life that you and I could have an opportunity to understand God. Those Pharisees, those people in the Old Testament, even with the best that God could do. I've tried to illustrate it like Moses. The best Moses could do, where the Bible said He speaks to him lip to ear. Brother Brown said face to face. Mouth to mouth. That's the way he described it. But even after that, what about you talking to God and you know it, He's talking to you? You know His voice. He's talking to you and telling you the great things. Moses turned around and said, Lord, I'd like to see You. I'd like to see You. And if you get in your Bible and find out, right, it's only about 8 or 10 verses between the fact that He's talking about Him, speaking to Him lip to ear. He said, I'd like to see You. He wanted to see more of Him than what it was there, because if something was speaking to you, wouldn't you want to see what was speaking to you? Come on, I've heard the voice of God in myself. Now, not audibly out somewhere, you know, coming to speak to me, but in myself. And I want to see Him, don't you? That's my goal. My desire is to see the One that's been leading me all of these years, because it definitely hasn't been me leading me. I couldn't have preached the things that I've preached all these years and held it together to where that they won't nobody call me and tell me I'm wrong. That's what I was telling them yesterday. I thought, man, we opened up that internet, I was expecting to be so many returns on that thing that it took me 5 years to read the things that people were going to be saying, you're wrong here, you're wrong here, and we don't have one yet. Maybe it's because that I proved too much of it with the Word. Hard to argue with somebody if they prove something by the Bible and prove it by the prophet's message. But I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. I'm just trying to preach what God gives me. Alright? But see, now listen. He's the beginning of the creation of God. You're the rest of the creation by the new birth. That makes you, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, it made you a new creature. A new creation. Alright? But see, He now, the prophet said His soul was the very soul of God. His spirit was the spirit in sundry times in divers manners that spake in the prophets. Right. His body was a creation. Okay? That made Him the beginning of the creation. A new creation. See, Mary didn't have anything to do with it. That would have been the old creation. You understand why Brother Branham would be so hard on the virgin birth and the things. See, and then he'd get down and see, we thought we had the virgin birth right when we thought that Mary produced the egg and God fertilized it. We thought that was the virgin birth. No. That's not the virgin birth. That would have been the old creation. That could have not been the new creation. God created egg and sperm. He just borrowed the womb. See, then that away just, He is the beginning of a new race. A new race of people, what He wanted. Adam was an example as God of the earth. But yet Adam could not display a Savior. And we know he did, because when he fell, get it what I'm talking about, while he was alive, you know, there before the fall. He could not be he didn't need to be healed. He didn't need a Savior. He couldn't display those things. But the second Adam, The second Adam not only displayed, he was the healer. He was the Savior. But see, he had to come into earth to be able to redeem you and I. And in this lifetime we were talking about, you know, everybody's talking about the River Jordan, that Jesus finally become God. You know, he wasn't God until the River Jordan. Then he finally become God. Well, that's contrary to the Bible, because the Bible says he was born Lord to Christ, born Emmanuel. That's contrary to the Bible, but that's their business, and I'm not arguing with them. I'm just trying to get you to look at something. And see, then when he come to the River Jordan, they say he finally become God. All right. Now, they got quotes from Brother Branham and things like that. Amen. I believe every one of them. Because there was the greatest event that I was covering the other day that ever took place in mankind. Amen. Because there on the River Jordan is where Almighty God, angels sang at the birth of a body. Yeah. Three wise men came at the birth of the body. You know, that's fine. But you know the best that man can do out of it? I remember a few years ago, you know, I always look around Christmas to see what they're going to say that I think they're blasphemin', but that's all right. A few years ago I saw, and you know, they had four wise men coming to Jesus. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh and a bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken. I said blaspheming the Holy Ghost, because that would mean God was a bucket of chicken. How many of you seen this lights when they had this year? Where they had Joseph and Mary taking the frankincense back to the store to try to sell it. I mean, I'm just going to put it plain with you. And just plain blunt, this is what I believe. I don't believe Mary and Joseph ever sold any of that gold, ever sold any of that frankincense, ever sold any of that myrrh. I don't believe it. You say, well, it was a whole lot of it. That's all right. You may think it. You may think they took the money. You may think they took the gold and done this. No, it would have been too precious for me to took. I don't know about you. You know, I've got certain things in a safety deposit box. I've got a watch that a brother gave me. It's a gold watch. And there's no way that I'd let anybody get a hold of that. I keep it, you know. I cherish it. All right. I'd sell everything I had before I'd sell that watch. That would be the last thing I'd ever get rid of. So I don't think Joseph and Mary went down to sell the stuff on the way back. I think that's blaspheming the Holy Ghost. But listen. Amen. There was a body created for the purpose of death. That's what it was for, the purpose of death. But that soul was the soul of Almighty God. And that spirit was the spirit of Almighty God dwelling in the human vessel. A new creation, the way that God wanted it. But that totally, now listen, that was what I was trying to get to you the other day, and I want to make this point, the reason I'm covering this. See, even though you put God in a human body, even though you believe that Jesus was Almighty God in flesh, soul and spirit, you know, in flesh, you still got a problem. That you don't hear the people of this message even talking about. And what's so odd, I was telling the brothers the other day about it. This is the 1971 message. That's not exalted. That's true. Brother Dale back there, he travels around the country for the company he's with. It's not exalted for him to come up and say, I just got back from Mexico. Why? Because he just got back. He said, I've been to 20 countries. Brother Perry Green said he's been to about 200 different countries. That's not exalted. That's telling the truth. He's been. Now, if he told 200 and he went to 199, he lied. See, now you're exalted. Because you're lying about it. But listen. This new creation, new race, Jesus Christ was the one who started it. The author or finisher, that says in Revelation 3:14. He's the first of that new race. And I don't care how goody-goody you think you are, you're not of that new race until you're born again. And your body is still not of that new race as long as I'm looking at it. Now the day is changed and made eternal. Then you can say your body is a new creation. You're only a new creation in the soul. Alright? But see, there on the River Jordan, we read it there this past week and was preaching on it. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Alright? God coming down to identify upon earth, and there you have Father, Son, and Holy Ghost all at one time being made manifest to where you can see it. You can see all of, because that's the only attributes God has. Healer, Savior, and all this, that's only part of what you're doing. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is the only three attributes God has. See, there on the River Jordan was all three attributes. Made manifest at one time. That's no problem. It was a glorification time. It was a great happening. And Brother Branham, I gave you the quotes there. We're in a future home where he said, this is the part of the earth that I'm redeemed and I've come to live in. That's what it's saying, instead of saying, this is my Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Let's just read that to make sure. Page 44, future home. When he went up out of the water, he said, I saw heavens open. The prophet saw it. He saw the heavens open, and here come descending out of heaven a form of a dove and a voice. And listen, John is telling you what he saw, but a voice speaks. What does the voice say? This is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell in. Or to dwell in. See, we always want to make the emphasis about that we try to make sure that we know that Brother Branham said to dwell in, you know. But amen. But why don't people read this one? What did that voice actually say? And here come descending out of heaven a form of a dove and a voice saying, this is my part of the earth that I have redeemed. And from this part of the earth I will redeem the rest of it. For he is my word made manifest. And the whole world, I spoke it into existence by my word, Hebrews 11. And Satan's held it all this time, but I've come to redeem it. So much of it has made his body, and I'm coming to dwell in it. That was what was being said. That's your prophets giving you the understanding of what it was really being said. He come down to redeem that body. Not that that body was sinful. Not that that body needed redemption like we need redemption, because it was not sinful. But it was not eternal. So it being not eternal, it has to be made eternal. But see, the amazing thing was, there it is 3.5 years before the eternal part takes place. That don't have anything to do with it. If we got this point on divine healing, we'd be saved in an instant. That God said it, I believe it. God said here that He redeemed that part of the earth. 3.5 years of the most horrible life that could be lived, a beating to a pulp and all the things that happened to Him. And yet God didn't say, well, this is my part of the earth that I come down and I'm going to try my best to dwell in it and do the best I can with a wowsy-woozy all of the life for 3.5 years and finally I'll wind up one day and make it eternal. Now, He said it. When He said those who He foreknew, He did predestinate. God said it. When are we going to say it? See, when are we going to say what He said? We don't have to say something extra. Oh, and I've been around long enough, and most of you know, some of you are old enough and been around. Dale's back there and been around a long time. He knows this statement. People years ago, boy, one of these days, I'll get that and I'll speak that word. Man, one of these days we're going to speak that word. You know what I told him then? I said, you got to have it before you can say it. That's what I said in 1967, probably in 66. You've got to have it revealed before you can speak it.
Right.
But see, they're saying, well, I'll tell you what, and I know what they're saying. I know what they'd do today with a lot of people if they had it. They'd go zap, and Brother Dale would disappear. That's what a lot of people would like to do with that spoken word. But I'm sorry, God ain't going to let that happen. Because that's not what it's used for. Brother Branham never used it that way, when he could have used it many, many times. You remember the couple that was making love? Anything you say. If Brother Branham would have said, zap, disappear, they would have disappeared off the face of the earth. But no, the inside of him was something that said, I forgive you. But do you see what I'm talking about? See what I've been driving at? See, that body was a human body that had a beginning. Now, Brother Branham, when he was talking about eternal sonship, we don't believe in eternal sonship. Everybody's mind's locked. We don't believe in Jesus being eternal. That's not the Catholic doctrine of eternal sonship. The Catholic doctrine of eternal sonship was that before the world, there was three. There was God in three persons. That's that Son of God back before the world ever begun. They're not talking about the body. They don't believe the body was eternal. They probably don't even believe the body was made eternal. But listen, we don't believe in eternal sonship. But I believe a Son of God can be eternal. All right. But now listen, He come down to redeem that body. And what did He redeem it for? So that He could redeem the rest of it. All right. Now our bodies were in the earth at the time. Right? None of us is old enough that our bodies wasn't in the earth. So our bodies were in the earth. Our bodies, the prophet said, was in the earth in the days of Noah when the rain came and God justified the world. Washed it off and cleansed it and started another one. Then when He dropped His blood upon the earth, it cleansed and claimed, page 14, 15, 16, future home. Cleansed and claimed the whole world. Well, if I'd just happened to have been laying under the cross. Boy, you got a good understanding, ain't you? Why don't you go kiss the Pope's toe and figure it out? Maybe he'll let you be under the cross for something. But listen, church. See, our bodies were cleansed and claimed. All right. Now, to prove what I was talking about the other day, see, the prophet said, this is my part of the earth. What, that body that I've come to redeem, and from this I'll redeem the rest. Isn't the world one of these days to get a fiery baptism? Isn't the world one of these days to be totally redeemed? All right. See, we stepped ahead of it. We're ahead of the world. The foolish virgins and things is not ahead of the world. The fifth seal Jews, those that are not born again today, are not ahead of the world. But a born again believer is ahead of the world because why? Because our soul is already redeemed by the new birth. Waiting the redemption of the body. But that's what's going on now. Now listen. And I'm sure you get tired of me saying it, but listen. The salutation to the age of this age said He's the beginning of the creation of God. That goes all the way to the point that a body came into existence 2,000 years ago. That would be the beginning of the creation of God. Now that doesn't mean, as I tried to get you to say, see about it. See, we say beginning of the creation, that's like God creating something else. Now Brother Branham emphasized that God didn't create Jesus and Jesus create the world. He said that'd make Him lower than creation. That's 336 Church Age Book. Then let me emphasize. I preached a whole message on that He's the beginning of the creation of God. He's the beginning of God condescending upon earth in creation. That was God upon the earth 2,000 years ago. In creation. To redeem the creation. It was not a man, as they're talking on this River Jordan stuff. He was just a man until the River Jordan. Well, then when the Holy Ghost left him in the garden, he was just a man. Right. And that may be a man, just a man dying for you. But you don't never hear none of that. Right. See, they just got one little petty thing that they love, and everybody's just so happy. This, oh, the glory, hallelujah, ain't it something? It's like they're saying, you know, about Brother Branham being the one that come to John on Patmos. Well, if that was actually true, if Brother Branham literally come to John on Patmos, where would that save you? But everybody's preaching sermons about it. But that's why I asked the brother. I said, there's three times on the Isle of Patmos that John falls down to worship. Are all three of those the same? He said, yes. I said, well, then I can prove. The one in Revelations 1, it says, I am the Alpha and Omega. And when he falls down to worship, and Brother Branham, I got the direct quote where Brother Branham said, that was not a man, that was not a prophet, that was God. So now we done took one out. So you only got two to argue about. And that's kind of what the brother done with me one time. He was talking about it, and a lot of you've used this, I'm sure, you know, but this man, we were talking about the Godhead, and he said, well, I see it now. He said, there's not three. He said, there's only two. Of course, he was a Jehovah's Witness. If you know the Jehovah's Witness doctrine, you know that their doctrine is that Father and Holy Ghost. They don't Jesus. The Jehovah's Witness reading is called a cult. They don't believe the body of Jesus. They don't believe that was God or nothing. It's just Father and Holy Ghost. Their two-ness. And I told that brother, I said, "Well, now we done away with one of your gods. You only got two, yeah." I said, well, if we talk long enough, maybe you'll do away with another one of them and get it right. But now listen, the great thing that happened at the River Jordan was God redeemed that body. Like I said, it didn't matter if it's 3.5 years later before it took place. Then it gave you the next one to show you where it's tied to you and I, because he says there, I've redeemed the part, and I'll redeem the rest of it. All right. Amen. Now, did you catch the other one? Let's read on it, proving his word. 1964, 8:16. Now, we find that God came into this little cell, see? And he began to develop cells. Drew, now watch the point of how Brother Branham is so precise. I don't believe the man understood how precise he was. But yet, a doctor could read what he says right here. Now listen to him. There is no connection. Right? Egg and sperm is created, even in the natural act, between man and wife. That attaches to you, the woman's womb, and draws the nutrition, right? And that makes the baby. So watch what it was. Now the egg and sperm was created perfect. But when it was attached to Mary, watch it. Look how precise your prophet was. Now we find that God came into this little cell, see. And he began to develop cells, drew from his mother's vitamins and things as she As she ate. As she ate what? Beans, taters, corn. She ate of the earth. Right? Then when he become old enough to eat himself, he began to eat. Now that's a little baby when he come out of the mother's womb, right? Where did he eat? What did he eat when he come out? What did Jesus eat? Beans, taters, corn, out of the earth. His body came out of the earth. I preached that to you many years ago. But I don't believe it was out of the filthy creation of this natural world. I believe it was out of the perfect when it come in the beginning to start with. But in the natural, Jesus Christ received His body became an earthly body because he ate of the earth. Right. See, that was going to bring down, make him brother. He began to become old enough to eat. He began to eat. And what is that? It's the dust of the earth, which you come up and plant life and animal life and so forth. And as he began to eat the fish and the bread and so forth, now, you know, I might as well go ahead and say this. I know it ain't going to be understood. I mean, not... In fact, ain't gonna be understood. It's gonna be differed with. But when the serpent was made of snake, what was he told it would be his meal? All we think about is a snake crawling across the ground. Right? Is that what you think happened? That he would eat of the dust of the earth, that all he could do is inhale it? But what about in the rainforest where they don't have no dust, you know? I'm not being sarcastic, nor arrogant, either one. I'm trying my best to get you to see something. He ate of the dust of the earth. He eats rats. He eats things just like we do. The snake eats just like we do. It's not meaning he's eating the dust of the earth, that that's all he can eat, and the snake, all he eats is dust. And he just sucks in dust, and then he gets off. Now, you wouldn't get your nutrition out of that. You'd die. I thought of that the other day, and I thought, well, I'd forget it or not even bring it out. But listen. It's the dust of the earth which you come up in plant life and animal life and so forth. And as he began to eat the fish and the bread and so forth, it begins to develop cells. And then when it's fully matured at 30 years old, he was baptized in obedience to John down here, or to God, in the water and went out. And what happened? The dove, which was God, descending from heaven with a voice saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm pleased to dwell." What did he come to do? It's your prophet asking that question. To redeem that part of the earth. He was the beginning of the creation of God, because God is not a creation, only in Christ is he a creation. Because God is eternal in a spirit, and the spirit is not created. He was the beginning of the creation of God, and God redeemed that body. See, when he come down, "This is my beloved Son, I'm well pleased in him." Now the next paragraph, 146. So he, God, came down after going through this, and now every son that you eat and born of a natural sexual birth, the way you come, then when it comes to a place to where you go through water baptism, then Holy Ghost baptism, then the Holy Ghost comes down to fire and claims this creation. Remember the other day when I told you, I don't believe in getting a new body. Amen. Why are you going to claim this creation, destroy it, and get a new one? Amen. No way. Come on. And claims this creation the same as it did him. Right. So we'd have him claiming his but not claiming ours. No. When it claimed his, it claimed ours. Amen. Right?
Yes, amen.
All right? The Holy Ghost and God is the same spirit, see? It comes down and claims this body for the resurrection. Now back there, it claimed his body for the resurrection. Come on. It claimed his body for the resurrection. Because you got out of the resurrection before you go into eternity.
Right.
So he was going to have a resurrection before his body would be made eternal, right?
Right.
So it claimed his body back there, but what did the Holy Ghost do when you received the Holy Ghost?
Right.
Claimed your body for the resurrection. Come on.
Amen. Right.
It comes down and claims this body for the resurrection. And he was raised for our justification. All the Father has given me will come. Not one will be lost. I'll raise it up at the last day. Not one hair of their head will ever perish.
Amen.
Listen, that is the beginning of the creation of God. Well, I'm talking about Jesus Christ now. And watch. This is the continuation of the creation of God. Who? You and I. See? Then the whole world has to have a baptism. See, it's going to be made a new creature. Isaiah 65, all things be made new. I give you new heaven and new earth. Then the Holy Ghost comes down in a city to dwell upon the earth, and the tabernacle of God is with men and dwells with them. God has tabernacled here on earth. This whole redemption plan, justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost is the same as it is then. So what happened there on the River Jordan? The greatest event it could be. God claimed a body.
Amen.
For the resurrection.
Right.
But as I said a minute ago, before you can go into it, it's not, there's going to be change amongst the dead in Christ shall rise first.
Right.
And we which are alive and remain shall be changed.
Right.
The change is not made before the resurrection.
Right.
So it claimed his body for a resurrection. But it claimed you and I for a resurrection. The new birth, when you receive that new birth, it claimed that. made you a part of the creation of God, standing here in a natural old creation. I don't care how much you think of your body and how wonderful it is, it's still of the same old creation that Noah, Abraham, Judas, Pharaoh, Hitler. Your body is of the old creation. But God is not dealing, Church Age Book 336, by way of the old creation. He's not dealing with your flesh. You are supposed to deal with your flesh. You're supposed to bring your flesh under subjection to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is living inside of here, and my body is not supposed to act like something beside what's inside of me. But see, He's the beginning of the creation of God. It'll take a change of these bodies. A resurrection for those who pass on. And a change of these bodies. The prophet said, your resurrection is inside of you. In your spirit. Now watch. If I die, that's easy to understand my resurrection. But what am I doing if I'm alive? It's not all just spiritual when we talk about resurrected, sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's not all just the new birth. Come on. That's not all just to say eternal life. We in the end time have got to bring our bodies under subjection. And if we can't do that, we've got a problem. Really, we need the new birth if we can't bring our body in. Now, that's not talking about that we're human mortals. We have to eat. We have to work. We're husband. We're wife. We're father. We're reproducing. That's not talking about that. That's what I was talking about a while ago. Once God said it there on the River Jordan, it didn't matter what Jesus, the body went through. That was already spoken. He was already redeemed. Of course, He was really redeemed for the world. So that's what the Bible said. He stood as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. That's what the poor old devil can't follow. He can't follow it back far enough. You see all of these doctrines in the message. It's got their predestinations and things. Where does it run back to? The flesh. Come on. I always was eternal. Watch where that leads back to. The flesh. And like I told you, the same people that teaches that Jesus wasn't God till the River Jordan, didn't get eternal life till the River Jordan, teaches you come with eternal life. That one I don't understand. My mortal brain can't figure that out, how you could be eternal but Jesus wasn't. I don't get that. I mean, that's beyond my human thinking. I'm sorry. I'm just too old to play around with words. But listen, church. He's the beginning of the creation. You and I are the continuation, are the rest of that creation. And down through the church ages, He's been reproducing Himself. Because He had to die to do that. And we'll get to it this evening, the Lord willing, about the Father's throne. But Jesus said, you'll sit with Me in My throne. So just put the title, Sit With Me. But I want to get one more thing to you. Look down at the bottom of the page of where you've just been reading Christ the Mystery. And you'll see what I'm talking about. You'll see why one of these days the prophet was right. We go through Revelations 1. We went through that. He was glory, hallelujah, about Revelations 1. The one standing in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, like unto the Son of Man, girt about the pouch with a golden girdle. We went through all of that, how that was a feminist description, right? Because it said, one like unto the Son of Man, girt about the pouch. That's for feminish. When it says, I am the Alpha and Omega, that's in the bride. That's in the bride. John fell down before the bride. Why? Because it's represented as... get on. But listen. But when are we going to get down enough to swallow the other things the prophet has to say? You're going to find out one of these days when I keep driving this hard enough, you're going to find out. You're going to find out Revelation 4 and 5 is taking place now. Revelation 6 is taking place now. The seals, come on. Didn't they start back under to come down? Then you're going to find out one of these days when the prophet gets over to Revelation 10:1, where he stood with one foot on land and one on sea. And Brother Branham says, the same as Revelation 1. And you just amen that Revelation 1 was the bride. So you're going to find out we're not going to heaven. I quit trying to go to heaven about 30 years ago. When God revealed to me what was taking place, I quit trying to go to heaven. Oh, Brother Dale. No, I'm trying to bring heaven here. Brother Woodby had a good point. He said, you've got to have a little heaven to go to heaven on. Or with. So we better try to get heaven here. We better see that Revelation 8:1 is the scene of the seventh seal where nothing else is not revealed. But a scene is a happening upon earth. You see where we're heading? It's going to be eternity from now on. I would invite you to make sure you do one thing. Try your best to be here the first service, the first Sunday of 2008. Try to be here. If you can't, please get the tape. I saw something 3 months ago.
Hallelujah.
I just can't. I keep it waiting. Why? Because I got to lay the background. You couldn't understand it. Let me make the statement, see how you understand. 1977 to 70 Jubilee, since the beginning of Jubilee, according to Leviticus 25:8, making exactly 3,430 years, what will that be? The going up of the Gentile bride and the return of Christ to the Jews when they go out of bondage. That's a verbatim quote from Daniel 7:8. That's exactly what we'll be preaching on. I'd be here. If I was sick, I'd be here. Let's read this part. So we want to tie together the bride before we get down and drop back just a little bit to where he said, sit with me. Christ the Mystery of God Revealed, 1963, 728, page 74. He, the head, is the first fruits of the resurrection. Now remember, he come down and redeemed that body for the purpose of the resurrection. Redeeming the Holy Ghost in you, redeemed for his resurrection. So he's the first fruits. What are we? We're the first fruits, right? By the new birth. Is that right? What? Then what is he? He's the head of the body, which is his church, bride, huh? Then the bride body must follow the head, for it is part of his resurrection and part of the mystery. The bride is part of the mystery. It's impossible for it not to go. Oh my. It's part of God's mystery. How God revealed himself here and raised it up by the word. So he reveals the church and raises it up by the same word. It's a part of his threefold mystery. And if it's part of the mystery, it's got to be revealed. And that's what's taking place now. One standing in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, like unto the Son of Man, bride form. Now let's get something just for a minute. I'll try to bring it to a close in a minute. Because it says there in Revelation 3:21, that you'll sit with me in my throne as I've overcome and sit my Father in his throne. A throne is a domain, right? And see, when Jesus was here on earth, who was he? The Son of Man. He never called himself Son of God. He always referred to himself Son of Man. You know, Matthew 16:13, who do man say I, the Son of Man, am? He always referred to himself as Son of Man, but yet he kept talking about his Father and the Father's kingdom. Right? In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He was talking about a Father's domain, right? Because he was trying to show us before that he could his domain could be made into being, that he would have to fulfill the Father's domain or throne. See? So all he could come and do was die. So he couldn't die as Son of God. But he died as Son of Man. The prophet said, rose as Son of God. Come down through seven church ages as Son of God. We're quick to quote that, but do we really understand? See, Jesus spoke so much about a kingdom, a domain. Like I said now, he had to bring it out, all of the parables and things. All of those will be related to like second comings and things like that. But they're dealing with the basis, because when you're dealing with a domain or kingdom, it's got to be the Father's kingdom first. So the Father's kingdom started on the day of Pentecost with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We'll get that this afternoon. Right. The Father's kingdom started the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But Jesus spoke so much of his own kingdom, so much of his own domain, so much about the coming of the Son of Man, so much about the Son of Man and how that it was and all like that, until at least one lady caught on. Matthew 20. He spoke so much about a kingdom until a little mother caught on. All right. Matthew 20, verse 20. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons. Now in Mark 10, you'll find that that's James and John, the sons. See, it's the same thing told over there. But it's, then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? She saith unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left, in thy kingdom. Now, so much had been spoken about a kingdom until she realized there was going to be a kingdom somewhere that he would be king of. Now watch. But Jesus answered and said, you know not what ye asked. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink up, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said unto him, we are able. He said unto them, you shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. Now Brother Branham says on Page 33, 34, how can I overcome? Said that's a predestinated seed waiting for that to be given to. Alright? So you can say, well, that's so and so and that's so and so. I'm going to say it's me. Now what's your confession? I got one side. Mine's the right. Which one do you, who's going to sit on the left? He said, Brother Dale, that's just getting too. Well, why not? He said it was a predestinated seed. It would be given to somebody. Why can't you believe you're on one side? You can have the right, I'll take the left. Come on. But listen. To show you the point of what I'm trying to get at, when Jesus comes over to Pilate, and they tell Pilate that this man is saying that he's a king, Pilate asked him, that's in John 18. Pilate asked him, said, are you a king? Maybe not in that scripture, but the others that goes there. He said, under this end was I born. You know, they were trying to make the story to Pilate that this man was an insurrectionist that was trying to destroy the government. See? Because that's what Pilate said. Well, deal with your own things. Deal with your own. See, they could deal with certain things. They just couldn't put nobody to death. He said, deal with that, you know. They did stone to death, and Pilate and them wouldn't do anything about those things. And so he said, just deal with that. But he said, no. Caesar's our king, and this man is against us. He's against you, too. The old Pilate brings him in, and he talks with him and talks with him. And Jesus says, my kingdom's not of this world. He says, my kingdom were of this world, said my disciples would fight. And said, you can look around and see there's none of them here. He said, to the end of the point of I was born to be a king is true. But said, this kingship I'm talking about has nothing to do with you, Pilate. It won't change you none whatsoever. As a matter of fact, it would help you. So wouldn't you like to have a company that everybody in the company was working for you? I'm talking about the house cleaner, the every job. You had 1,000 people working for you, and every one of them had the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Every one of them had the faith of the fathers. Every one of them had the headstone. Wouldn't that be a great company? That's the thing I miss is going to Dorval. I don't mean the company was that way, but there was 6 or 7 of us, and man, every morning we ate breakfast together, we ate our breaks together, we had, and a lot of times we worked right to side by side, 8 hours. Sometimes they'd be relieving me, sometimes we'd just be side by side working and everything. I enjoy it. That's the only thing I miss about Dorval. I don't miss the work now, but I miss that days when old Brother Tom would come riding up every morning and they would holler, because he had the only high-low in the plant that was 6 ton or something like that. He had the only diesel that was in the plant. They'd already taken all that out because of the smog, but they couldn't do it because he had to take out a whole job and put in a whole job and do, you know, stuff like that with it. So they left him with one, and every morning, 7 o'clock, blunk 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 blunk, they'd holler, hey, fam, here comes your breakfast. 6 ton high-low hauling my breakfast every morning. You ought to have seen it, too. Texas toast, about 3 or 4 eggs, and about 4 pieces of fat back. Not no bacon. On there. And cup of coffee. I enjoyed them days. I miss them. Tom stayed over there with me as much as 6 hours out of 8. Walking up and down the line with me, talking about the Lord. I miss those. But now listen. But Pilate, he said, Pilate, you don't have to worry about nothing. I'm not trying to take over your domain. My disciples are not even here trying to fight. Said, if I was the kind of king they're accusing me of, they would be here. And we'd be, said, because Peter done cut off one ear. And I wouldn't let that happen. I just put the ear back. And said, that stopped them from fighting. So old Pilate, he just finally says, I find no fault with the man. You deal with it. But my point of what I'm getting at is, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. All right, now be real careful here. We've got to cover something. This is something that's got to be covered for the next stages later on. All right. The Son of Man was who he was. And sure, the Son of Man was ruler of the earth. And sure, in the bride of Christ, we're to rule the earth. I know that. But you got to take it all the way. The kingdom he was talking about was the throne of David. Now, I'm talking about find out. You know, we're going to drop back, so we got to go all the way over and see what he's talking about. Then we'll come back to where we're living. Okay? See, Jesus' domain is the Son of David. That was the promise. The promise was, see, he was to be Son of Man, Son of God, Son of David. Right. So Jesus' domain that were to sit on one side of him and on the other side of him will be in the millennium as Son of David. Right. And we can sit on a throne with him in the millennium as Son of David, see, then we can sit with him. All right. and rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. There's your finality of what Jesus was speaking of, and the domain that the little sister wanted them, you know, in her heart, she wanted her children. And that was honorable because she didn't even ask for a place for herself. She asked for her kids. All right? But he said, that's not for me to give. In other words, my domain is not being fully made manifest yet. Are you listening? Even though he was the God of the earth, but yet he was still in an earthly vessel. Still he was in time and a creature of time and controlled by time to eat and sleep and do things. But he said, one day, I'll have a domain. It will be the millennium, and that's probably what he tried to explain to Pilate. It's not here, Pilate, not under the time elements. I said, after the world's over with. Well, you know, all of those kings, they believed them to be incarnate deities, etc., of all the kings, and all the kings had their hieroglyphics made up of how they could, some of them was birds and wolves and different things, and how they would be carried into eternities and all of the things. And, you know, Pilate didn't have any trouble. He had no trouble with what Jesus was saying, because he knew he wasn't talking about right then. Because at that time, now listen, even though he was Son of Man, now here's my point, so bear with me for about 5 minutes. Even though he was the Son of Man, now this is deeper than I've ever went with it, so you better listen. But there's nothing behind it that's been different what I'm talking about. I've always taught you that the Son of Man was ruler of the earth. Now we taught you and I have got to be ruler of the earth. So listen real careful, but there's a point. See, the finality of the throne, the finality of the domain will be the Son of David. I gave you quotes for that. We'll read them this evening if we need to. If not, I gave them to you. All right? Now, in that, then drop back now. So here was a man walking on earth, the Son of Man. He said, I could call, what is it, 12 legions of angels or something? He was ruler of the earth. He was the Son of Man. He multiplied the food. Or what is the Son of Man? Page 10 or 12 of It's the Rising of the Sun. The prophet said, who is this Son of Man? He said, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because who is the Son of Man? There on the earth was the Son of God, living inside of a human vessel called the Son of Man. Right? Now are you listening? Inside of there was dwelling the Son of Man. That's what God wants. That's the beginning of the creation of God, was that all of God could dwell in a human vessel. So then on the River Jordan, surely then all of God came down. Because like we tried to express to you, Jesus said when he was a baby, he couldn't die for your sins. He couldn't be your Savior at age 1 or 13 when he was there in the temple. He couldn't be your Savior or your healer at age 13. No, he was fulfilling the Word. The Word was there. When he became 30, though, which is really 29 and a half, becoming 30, the Scripture says, then God identifies his whole being upon earth. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Because that man was to die. That body. And Brother Brown said, no man could die like that man died. Now that's his word. He said he never died from a Roman spear. He never died from the beatings that was given him. He died of a broken heart. Because of you and I. And our rejections of mankind. He died because of us with a broken heart. Because of our stupidities in our lives and our thinking that we think we're so smart. But listen. He didn't rule. Now here's what I want you to see for a second. While he was here on earth as the Son of Man, he could walk on water. He could multiply food, raise the dead, all kind of things, right? But that wasn't his ruling. He was not ruling At that time, he didn't come to be ruler. That's what he told Pilate. I'm not here to be a ruler.
Amen.
I'm here to die.
Right.
Wouldn't that be a shock to a man like Pilate, you know, for a man to say, I didn't come to rule, I come to die. Like I've always tried to tell you, we're the only people that's got a religion that required that you're a God died.
Right.
None of the other religions do that. Our religion requires our God died. Because I know why they're doing that. No, my God can't die. Well, don't worry about it. You can't kill God anyway. He said, I lay my life down and I take my life again. I can't kill you, Brother Richard. I can hit you over the head. I can cut your head, slap off. I don't kill you. God's one that lets you die. All right, but listen. So then here was a man walking on earth as an example of what he wanted. An example of what he wanted. He wanted an Adam again. Now you understand? Adam was ruler of the earth, right? Therein Jesus Christ was ruler of the earth, dwelling in human vessel, but limited to the basis of life. But it took a long time for this to really sink into me, and I've tried to preach it now for about 30 years. I was listening to the unveiling of God, and it's not even there in a literal quote, but it came from there where I was listening day in and day out, four times in a row. That I was listening to it going to work and back. You see, we talk about Son of Man, Son of God, Son of David. That's three sons' names. But now, you better consider something that's your prophet taught. And he taught, and the Bible is, and nobody, Paul didn't understand this. Nobody understood anything about the Son of Man. Paul never wrote about the Son of Man. Show me the scripture. Nobody else knew anything about the Son of Man. Only the Lord Jesus Christ knew that revelation. When he said to Peter, who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, in other words, Peter, okay, you got what I want you to get, but that ain't enough. Because in the end time, it's got to come back to a different position. So in the end time, here comes the little prophet out in his early ministry. And he begins to talk about the days when the Son of Man be revealed. Everybody else talking about Son of God, Holy Ghost, Lord moving, glory, glory, Holy Ghost, anointing, oh, glory. Here's a little man start talking about Son of Man. Is that right? He starts talking about Son of Man that nobody didn't know anything about. And as that Son of Man began to reveal himself through a Son of Man, which was Brother Branham, was a Son of Man, the Son of Man is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
As he began to reveal himself through the man, he went further and further talking about this Son of Man. Son of Man. He'd say, now, the Son of Man said he had a sign. He had a sign. And said, here was the sign. Said, there's a man back here behind me sitting in the baptismal thing. Said he thought he was going to die and he ain't even going to buy him a pair of shoes. Said, but thus saith the Lord, he's healed. He said, now that's exactly like the Son of Man was on earth 2,000 years ago. But now that's as far as most people go with the Son of Man. That's Brother Branham. Brother Branham. Because they deal with the sign of the Son of Man. They don't deal with what the Son of Man was. The Son of Man was the Word made flesh. The prophet said, according to Malachi 4, the bride is to be delivered in the end time of a new birth. Now, this is 1969. Because it's the first message I preached that come in this message. Been in 2 years, and I preached 1969 in Athens, Georgia, that the bride of Jesus Christ would be the Son of Man. The Word made flesh in the end time, that Brother Branham come to make way for the bride, so I'm not coming up with some kind of new thing. That's what I've been dealing with since 1969, and how much you think I feel about it today, when I can go through all that you want to go through with, where the prophet's talking about the Son of Man as the Word, Son of Man as the bride, And then we get over there in Revelations 1 where it says, one like unto the Son of Man, girt about the paps. Because it's the Word made flesh. What's going to bring the resurrection is my point. What's going to bring a rapture? The only way there can be a resurrection and a rapture is to bring the God that was back there that went through a death, burial, and a resurrection and a rapture, a change. You've got to bring Him back here. This time He won't come back in a one body to be the Son of Man. That's why Brother Branham wasn't called the Son of Man. He was called a Son of Man. But the bride of Jesus Christ is the Son of Man. Quoting Him now. The Word made flesh, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I don't care if you two Lord man life and make fun of that statement. Brother Branham made it, I didn't. Let Him life all He wants to. I'm tired of that part. I'm just putting it flat and blunt. The bride is going to have to be the Son of Man or there's not going to be a resurrection. The bride will be the final voice to the final age. That's what your prophet said. He said they would be that He'd be so visible among us He'd raise the dead and we'd go in the rapture. Where at? In the bride. So what's He coming in this day for? What is He coming in this day for? Now listen. He didn't rule back there. So hold your point now and listen real careful. He didn't rule back there. That wasn't what He come to do, was to rule back there. All right. Now, you can't go from Son of God, so you go Son of Man, Son of God, Son of David. The Brother Branham on that unveiling of God, he said, and I caught it, he said, Son of Man, Son of God. He said, just for a little bit in the end time, He's back as Son of Man, and he said, then He can go to Son of David. Because you can't go from Son of God to the millennium. You're outside the Word. You got to bring the Son of Man back. Amen. The Word made flesh has got to be here before you can go to a millennial reign. Before we can sit in His throne in the millennium, we got to sit here. Right. Sit with me in my throne. Right. Not coming to rule the world. He's not coming in bride form to rule the world. We're not going to the White House like everybody's taught it. Come on, that's your return ministry. That was back when we first come into message. 67, first heard it in 66. They were talking about Brother Branham would come back one day, lead us up to the White House. Boy, and we just going to challenge him at the White House and just take over the government. I said, there ain't no such thing in the Bible and neither is it in the prophet's message. That's what I said then and I say it more now. He's not coming back in this end time to rule as Son of Man. He's coming back to rule in your life. He's coming back to bring a group of people. It may not be but a handful. May be, as the prophet said, one out of a state. But He's going to have rulership in you. Not rulership of the world. But when He has rulership in you, a puppy dog ain't going to chase you up a tree. And that prophet stood here and that bull started at him. He said, bull, go lay down. When them hornets swung around him ready to sting him, he said, go back to your nest. Just for a moment. Romans 8 says the world's waiting for the manifestation of sons of God, right? Just for a moment, God, the world saw its master living in a little man. But what about when that comes into bride form? There may not be but a handful, but somebody is going to stand there and say, the Word is now made flesh. Now, we're not going to be stupid and step in front of a train and tell it to stop. Don't be dumb. But when it is happening and something takes place in your life, recognize that. But we miss all of the things. I was just sitting there yesterday to show you how simple. I had told Danny that I'd call him. He called me and that we talked about going to see Brother Dean. And we were moving Joe and him. And we were moving Hannah. And we were running backwards and forth. I was between two houses moving and sitting in this and go up do that and go up do that. And went over to Wade's. They said, we'll go eat. And I done told Danny, I said, I'll call you back quick as I get through with this moving. I was sitting there and it just come back. You said you would go. I said, thank you, Lord. I had totally forgotten the promise that I made. He said, you said you would go. I called Danny, and Danny was already on the road. I don't blame him because I was running late. And I run home and shaved and grabbed on some clothes and went to the hospital too. I'm just saying, we don't look at the little things, because he brought that to my attention. The little things we miss might be the things that we need to pay more close attention to. I believe the bride of Jesus Christ will be the Word made flesh upon the earth. There's where we sit with Him. In His throne. Not on His throne. It's not in the Bible to sit on His throne. And Brother Branham gives it. I'll give it to you this evening. He said, how can I overcome where it's at? I gave you the quote. He said, to sit with Him in His throne, not on. To sit with Him in His throne means we're a part of the throne. Not a big throne. We all get up and sit down. We're a part of the throne. So we're part of Him. Let's stand. Come on, I'm sorry. This musician, just hold it. We'll just sing. Just, Brother Don. Okay, he's going the other way. Let's just stand. We won't need no singing. We'll just sing, I love Him. If anybody has a need, don't ever end the service without giving an opportunity to someone to be prayed for. But listen, I preached this in 1969. The bride of Jesus Christ is the Son of Man. How much more do you think I believe it today? The Word made flesh. But I hope you caught the point. Let me state it again. He didn't come to rule back there. He come to live and be the Word. He doesn't come in the end time to rule the world. He comes to live in a bride. But that little bride will rule with Him at the white throne judgment, and she'll rule with Him in the millennium. Because we'll be sitting in His throne. Because that's what we've got to rule this man here. This is the one we've got to overcome. This man. This domain is the one I'm dealing with. What about you? Think on these things. I love you. I love you. Do you? Because He first loved me. Anybody have a need? And purchased my salvation on God. Sing it this way now if you need healing. He heals me. Because that's a statement. He heals me. Because He first loved me. And by His stripes. Anybody else that have a need? Our sister's having trouble with her back. With her back. Let's just pray and believe. And many of you have back trouble. Then you can sympathize with our sister, can't you? Amen. Father, we believe Your Word that by Your stripes we're healed. Our sister's made the confession that by Your stripes she's saying that unto You, Lord, and we're thanking You for it. And we believe it. Now just reach down and take this away. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we condemn this hurting. In Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else before we go? I love You. Do you love Him? Because He first loved me. And purchased my salvation on Calvary. Father, we thank You. We love You. We pray now as we dismiss for a little while to go eat a natural meal, that You'll be with each one, be with those traveling on the highway, and just guide each and every one of us and keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.